Welcome everyone. This week's Haftarah is for Parshas Toldos 11:37. Thank you for finding the place for me. So we've got one of the last books of the Tanakh, Malachi. That's one of the final prophets. There's a debate about who he was. Who was the masked man? Who was Malachi? Like, we get a name, and it's a nice name. Malachi means like a leader, Melech. Today, you sometimes you'll meet people with the name Melech, like Elimelech, or but it's the same root for Melech is a king or a leader. So his name was Malachi. According to some people, he was Mordechai. That was his pen name, but most people say not that that was this would probably be Ezra. It could be it was around that time, towards the beginning of the the end of the second temple era before the end of the first temple era before the building of the second temple. Would it be the end the This would have been already at the beginning of the Second Temple. Okay, during the construction of the Second Temple. Okay, now, the question is going to be, what's the connection to the Parsha? So we're going to see a mention of the struggle between Yaakov and Esav. And ultimately, that's the message of the Parsha, that there's going to be two forces, that Yitzchak Avinu, last week we have the struggle between Yitzchak and Yishmael, which we still have that struggle, which is interesting after all these years that we still have the fight, you know, the challenge from the Arab world, because his hand is going to be against everybody, and he's going to be what's called a para-adam, which is an interesting word. But now we get to the struggle of Yaakov and Esav. And with the struggle of Yaakov and Esav, it's kind of clarified in the Parsha that when Yaakov behaves the way he should, then he's going to be on top. But if he doesn't behave the way he should, then Esav is going to be on top. That's kind of what comes out from the blessing of it seems like Esav was the firstborn, but he wasn't worthy of it. So if Yaakov is worthy of it, then the Jewish people is worthy of it, then we'll be on top. So we're going to see a discussion of the blessing of Yaakov and Esav. But then a little bit of a criticism. The prophets, their job was not to compliment us. Just keep that in mind. I hate to read like these scathing criticisms, you know. But that was the purpose of a prophet. We could use a prophet. We need people to tell us when we're off, you know. We need people to tell us when we're making mistakes, we're not doing right. And he's going to come in with criticism for the Kohanim, the people that were running the Beis HaMikdash at that time. And we'll have to see how that speaks to us. Okay, so let's begin. This, because it's a criticism, he gives you a hint of it at first. He calls it a masa. The word masa means something to carry. It's a burden. This is a rough prophecy. It's a burden to hear such a thing that when you get a prophecy that you need to fix your act, that you need to, so that's a masa, that's a heavy thing. So, masa dvar Hashem. There's a burden with the word of Hashem, and who is this to? El Yisrael. This is to the Jewish people. Now, by the way, Yisrael means on the higher level. The word Israel is the Jewish people. There's the name Jacob, and there's the name Yaakov, and the name Yisrael. So Yisrael means that when we, as the Yisrael, as a light to the nations, as a people that has struggled and won, we have to get our act together, and this is through Malachi. He's the messenger. So the first message, and this, by the way, is a... Hello. Welcome. Okay. This is, by the way, one of the important messages that whenever you want to give criticism, you always have to show that you care about the person. Because sometimes people criticize... Just, you know why? Because they want to hurt a person. They want to yell. They want to harm. Like that's why today we have a hard time when somebody criticizes us. The only one that gets away with it are our parents, you know, because we know they love us. You know, that hopefully they can get away with it. Even today, parents can never be sure, right? People are very fragile, and partially because the people that criticize today are just trying to hurt people. they say things not because they really care, but because they want to hurt. And so, therefore, if somebody tells us something, our first reaction is, who are you and why? I'll criticize you back. But if you know that it's out of love, it's a different story. We'll see that in next week's Parsha. Yaakov comes to the well, and these shepherds are sitting out there wasting time on their, and they're being paid. So before he gives them, he says, what are you guys doing sitting out here at midday, you know, sitting around the well, you know, the shepherds know how to sit around the well and waste time and tell stories or whatever they were doing. And so before he says that to them, he says, my brothers. You guys, I love you. You're great. You're my brothers. Oh, by the way, don't you think we should be working a little bit? And then they give him the story. Well, we'd love to, but we got this big rock on there, and we can't water the sheep. And so, oh, he says, no problem. And he picks up the rock, and then they go work the sheep. That was the story. But before the story, he says, my brothers. Why does the Torah tell us that? Because until you establish that you care, you don't have a right to criticize. Because, again, there are people that just like to pick apart others, that just want to, but if you're doing it out of love, so therefore, before he begins, he says, Ahavti, I love you, Hashem says, don't worry, Jewish people, guaranteed, you are loved, you are cared, but listen to what I got to say. Ahavti Yeskem Omar Hashem. Hashem says, they always warn, you know, when you go to rabbi school, if the person says, with all due respect, they say, you got a duck, you know, then it's, you know, I don't know what's going to hit you, you know, that's their way of saying, I'm going to give it to you, but with all due respect, Rabbi, you know. So, Ahavti Yeskem, I loved you, Omar Hashem, Amartem. Now, what's interesting in this prophet is that he has like question and answer. It's like a back and forth. That's a tool to get you in the discussion. So God says, I love you. And so you're going to say, well, prove it. How did you love me? Amartem. And you might say back.
But it's in the past. I loved you.
Correct.
So wouldn't that imply that God doesn't love us now?
Not in this sense, because you'll see. You'll see the context. He's going to say, when I chose you in the beginning, I had... sometimes people complain about where they're at now, and so he's saying that I loved you when I first picked you.
It must be Faye.
Oh, okay. Does she need a hand?
No, she's coming.
Good. So sometimes when you say I loved you, and then if you say but now I don't, then that would be correct. Huh. But this is trying to say how did we get where we're at? Hello, welcome. How are you? That's fine. So... Hashem says, well, I had loved you, meaning that how sometimes the Jewish people, we have a challenge in the world, like, and that is we feel that Hashem was extra nice to us and showed extra love. And sometimes we look around the world and say, well, if this is the way you love us, how, you know, that we've had a lot of challenges, the lot of Holocausts and pogroms and other things. And so the Jewish people might ask, but Maya Havtanu, well, how do you show your love? What is how did you, Hashem, pick us? What is it that you've loved us with? What's the proof? So it goes back to the beginning. And he says the following. Halo Ach. Did you forget? You have a brother, and his name was Esav LeYaakov. What's really interesting is that you talk about a hard life. You know, the people in life, they sometimes have a relationship that they struggle with, whether it be at work, whether it be at a certain time with their spouse, whether it be with a neighbor. And it's really awful to have that struggle when you have somebody who's close that you have to struggle with. Why should a person have friction? You know, it's an awful thing. And sometimes it just happens. That's part of life, that you have a relationship that you struggle with. Yaakov was born in the womb with a relationship that he struggled with. In other words, he didn't have a day, what, like some people, they have, you know, you should be thankful that person, they didn't have this struggle their whole life. Yaakov was born in the womb. They describe it as a wrestling match. You know, the two were kicking each other and fighting in the womb. You know, they were twins, but it was like a born struggle. It describes almost that Yaakov was born with a foot on his head. His brother's foot was like kicking, you know, was like, that's just a description that there'll be an existence where we will be struggling with the secular world, that there's a struggle in the world between our values and their values. And it's from day one. And so Hashem says, so where were you loved? So Hashem said, you got this brother, And his name was Esav, and Yaakov knew Hashem. Va'ohav es Yaakov, and Hashem picked us. We won the struggle. Hashem chose us in that struggle. Verse 3. And ves Esav sinesi, and Esav I hated. Va'asim es harav shmama. And if you look at the land of Esav, Hashem, that was the deserts around Eretz Yisrael. There's plenty of them, you know, the deserts. It's interesting, if you ever fly over Eretz Yisrael, you see the Jewish areas are green, and then all the other areas you could see are like wasteland or desert. It's just like so, and part of it is that we brought it back to life. When the children come back home, so they bring it back to life. That's Eretz Yisrael. But the areas around Eretz Yisrael, the boundaries where Jordan and Saudi Arabia, Egypt, just deserts. So that's what Hashem says, that those areas were Esav's territory. And at one time, there was a lot there, and Hashem said, I made it shmama. Desolate. I wiped it out. Vesnach leso, and I made his inheritance Litanos Midbar. He made it for a place of wild animals and serpents. Verse 4, Ki somar edem rishasnu. So now we know that Eretz Yisrael for a time being was also desolate, and we came back. We're one of the great comebacks in history. We're coming back. In fact, the historians don't know what to do with us. There are all kinds of theories of history, but ancient nations they don't come back. You know, Rome is gone. You know, Greece is gone. The Hittites, forget it. You know, the communists, they're not coming back. And, the Nazis, they're not coming back. You know, they're just, these civilizations get wiped out. I mean, the Tsar, he's not coming back. You know, those emperors that lasted for hundreds of years, the Habsburgs, they're not coming back. There's no historian would have any thought that any one of these ancient ways of life, they're gone. But we're back. We're in Israel. We're speaking Hebrew. We're following the Torah, and we're back. It's an incredible thing. So maybe Esav's also coming back. So therefore, maybe he's coming back. Verse 4, Ki Tomer Edom Rishashnu, as we turn on page 1138. Maybe they're going to rebuild just like we came back. Maybe they're also coming back. It's very interesting. You know, the Palestinians, some of them are imitating us. They believe that just like we got our independence and we got the British out of there, so some of them actively teach that we got to be like the Jews and we got to make a ruckus and we got to go to the UN, and they feel that they're going to win their independence. They're coming back just the way we're coming back. But no, it does. There's a big difference. We were there. They were never there. But the Edom Esav says we're coming back. Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. Hey Meyivnu. He said they might try to build Vani Eres, and I will destroy them. The Korolem Gvul Russia, and the basic thing is that they're not worthy of it. They're Russia. They're wicked. Va'am Asher Zoam Hashem Ad Olam, and the people of Esav, they've infuriated Hashem, and ultimately it's about giving and taking is what we're going to see. Like Esav was a person that took for himself. He was a person that. That way of life, Hashem says that's not the way that it's meant to be. Verse 5. Einekem tirenu va'atem tomar, and you will see that Yigdal Hashem me'al gvul Yisrael, that Hashem will come out of the boundaries of Israel and he will be great. Verse 6. So we won the battle, so to speak. We got chosen. Our forefathers really got us the ability to be the chosen people, and we were picked. We were the lucky ones. Esav was not picked. His inheritance was not picked. So we have it all laid out for us what we need to do. So verse 6, Ben Yechavedav Eved Adonav. The way it works is that we have a choice in our relationship with God. Either we're like a precious child, or we're like a servant. It's one way or the other. We have the choice. Sometimes we got to do it because we're forced, just like a servant is forced. Sometimes we do it because we're Hashem's child. It's funny because the other religion we live amongst talks about their God being Hashem's child. The Torah says that we are Hashem's children. Every person. God, it's not that God is God, is the son of God. We are the son of God. We're Hashem's children. Hashem's, we're created in Hashem's image, just like a person's child is beloved to them, and a person is very forgiving of their children and puts their efforts towards them. We are Hashem's children. So the question, though, Hashem is asking, and I told you this prophecy is the harsh one, is that if we're Hashem's child, v'im avani, God says, well, if I'm dad, eyek vodi, where's your respect? You got to respect your parents. Where's your respect? V'im adoni, and if I'm a master, eyemor, where's your fear? And who says this? Hashem Sfakos. Hashem is the one who has the multitudes. V'akohanim, and the leaders, the Kohanim, bozeze shmi. Instead of honoring my name, they embarrass my name. So you might ask, v'amartem, and you would say, b'ma bazinu eshemecha, what have the Kohanim done wrong? It looks like they're doing their job. Now there's a deeper message here, that in the beginning of the Parsha, the firstborn son was usually chosen of the family to represent the family in the service of Hashem. In other words, they would send him to the temple, and he would be the Bechor. And Esav sold his Bechor to Yaakov for his bowl of lentils. That was the story. Why? Because to Esav, the right or the privilege to serve the Almighty is only worth something if you value it. If you want to serve Hashem, and if you make something of it. But because to Esav that was not what life was about, he was not interested in serving God, so he sold that privilege to Yaakov. And so that privilege of serving Hashem belongs to us. We are Yaakov, and the Kohanim represent us in that service. The Rambam, by the way, just as an aside, he says that when the temple, without the temple, we all have that position, that we're like Kohanim. In fact, the at one place in the Chumash, the Torah describes us as Kohanim, as priests, and we're a nation of priests. And for example, when you light the Shabbos candles, you're the Kohen Gadol. You're light, just like when you light in the temple, when the Beis Hamikdash, when they light the candles, that was reserved for the Kohen Gadol. You are the Kohen Gadol. You are bringing light to the world. And when you eat the loaves on the table, the two loaves, that's the same as the loaves in the Beis Hamikdash. And we are function as Kohanim, as people that there's something called the service. There's certain things that we do that we view ourselves as we're serving the Almighty. So then the question is, where do we go wrong? Where do the Kohanim go wrong? And we have a description over here. What's interesting is that we're getting into the month of Hanukkah. We're going to, the Rosh Chodesh, the month of Hanukkah, the Hanukkah starts, is going to be this week of Kislev. And we know during Hanukkah, that was a time where the Kohanim had messed up, and where the Kohanim had to fix what they messed up. That's why the leaders of the revolt were the Hashmonoim, because the Kohanim had, since they were, so to speak, like the upper class, or the people that were more educated and devoted to Hashem, somehow they had become Hellenized. A lot of them had been influenced by the Greeks, the Greek culture, and therefore they were the ones that had to win the... To win them back. But here also we'll see that the Kohanim didn't serve Hashem. So what happened? Verse 7, Magishim al mizbiki lechem. Hashem says, you bring me on my altar bad bread. So you say, well, what's so bad about the bread? And this is a very interesting idea. We, you know, we're all observant, or we try to be observant. And the question is, when we observe, when we do mitzvahs, how do we do those mitzvahs? Do we do them with a joy and with a feeling of service and humility and reverence, and or do we feel like, well, I got to do this, and you know, I'm stuck. I just got to go torture myself and sit in synagogue and just, you know, tough it out, and you know, just do what I got to do. You know, otherwise, you know, I got to please God. Otherwise, I don't want to go to the wrong place, and so I'm just going to force myself to do it, and you know, just kind of mumble the words, and you know, just do what I got to do. Unfortunately, there are all times that we sometimes just do what we got to do, and our heart isn't in it. That's something we got to work on. When you do something out of joy, out of love, and you put a passion in it, it becomes very special. If you do it because I'm just stuck, I just got to do it, you know, I don't want to get in trouble, I'm just going to tough it out or whatever, it's not the same thing. So over here, the Kohanim, when they brought the bread, he calls it abominable bread. Like really nasty stuff here. Why? We'll see more. They would bring a blind animal to slaughter. Well, we're forced to have sacrifices. I don't want to give God my best animal. So I'll take like an old sick animal, you know, that nobody wants any. What are you going to do with a blind animal? You know, it can't see. So that's what I'll use as a sacrifice. Nobody will know the difference. So they took, Ein ra, if you bring an animal that's peseach, that's lame, the chola and sick, ein ra. Hekriva na, when you serve God with your best. Hayirtze, hayisil panecha, according to some, that's what happened with Cain and Hevel. There was a debate about what kind of offering to bring. But it's, when you do something, you have to try to do it in a nice way. And if you offer Hashem, garbage, if you offer, there's certain people that they give their leftovers is what they give, but they never give what's really important to them. One of the things that Avraham did was, we're kind of used to that because like the only people that will take old clothes are like Goodwill or whatever, or the Kidney Foundation, or we're used to giving like, what we can't use anymore is what we give. Avraham, a guest came, he didn't give him leftovers, he slaughtered a fresh animal. He gave him the best, and Sarah went to bake fresh bread, he was giving them the best. There's a way to give with a desire to want to give or to give in a nice way. We had before that when Eliyahu came to visit. I'm sorry, when Elisha came to visit, he needed a place to stay. And so she said, well, I don't want to just put him in my basement somewhere. I'm going to give him his own spot with a table and a light. And so this lady merited to have, her son was brought back to life because she did a mitzvah, because she needs a place to stay. I got to give, I'll give him a bed or whatever. But she wanted to make it nice. She wanted to make it beautiful. The opposite of that, by the way, was Mrs. Lot. She said, she was from Sodom. And she was married to Lot, and Lot said, well, we got to take the guests. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. In my household, we take in guests. So she said, well, we got to give them some bread to eat. They're starving. Well, they don't got to enjoy the bread. It doesn't have to taste good. They're starving, right? So she didn't put the salt in the bread. Unless you're, for health reasons, never buy sodium-free food. Sometimes by mistake, you buy it, and it just doesn't... It's not the same. I don't know. I feel bad. Some people, they have to for, blood pressure, no soda. But it just doesn't taste as good. But Mrs. Lot, she felt, all right, if you got to help somebody, but you don't have to enjoy it. You got to do what you got to do. But that was the opposite of Avraham, which was, you do a mitzvah, you make it nice, you make it special. You do, these guests are coming, they're hot, they're sweaty. I want to give them food. I'm going to give them the best. I'm going to give them fresh. I enjoy doing it in a nice way. And so that's unfortunately, Kohanim over here, they were given their leftovers. Verse 9, Vata cholono p'nekel, and now, if you want God to answer you, and apparently the things weren't good, so you want Hashem, and you want to find favor in His eyes, hayis upon him, this is how you do it. Verse 10. Mi gam b'chem b'yiska d'lasayim, v'lo tir mizbech. God says, you know what? If it were up to me, I would close the doors of the temple. Ain li chefetz, you're not doing me any favors. Sometimes we think that we're doing God favors. We're doing ourselves favors. That's the concept over here. All my Hashem says, Min kol ha'aretz, I don't need your presence. You know what? God says, He created the world from the Mimizak Shema, from the where the sun goes up to the sun goes down. That's all mine. My name is great amongst the world. Makom Mokta Mukshir, and people offer to my name. Ki Gadol Shmi Bagoyim, and my name is great amongst the nations. Verse 12, Atim Mechalanosi, and you profane my name, Bamarchem, and you say, Shulchan Hashem Ego, you say, oh, what is this? The service of Hashem is not nice, the Nivna Nizza Ochlu. So they didn't have the right reverence for the service. They didn't respect the service. Verse 13, Martimine Mitzlova Hapaktimoso. He said that it's burdensome, it's a burden. And so again, this is a challenge because we force ourselves, sometimes it's better to do something than not do something, but it's really not good if things are a burden. It's really not good if the, you know, and again, we all get it, you know, it's sometimes it's not easy to get up in the morning, you know, it's not easy to, it's a burden. But the challenge is to work on things that we see as a burden. If we're serving Hashem, if this is a service, we should feel the privilege and the honor and that we're chosen for them for this. So verse 13, and you're complaining and you say, oh, it's a burden, v'paktimoso, and you make little of it. Oh, Hashem v'esim gozo, and you bring stolen animals like people they have money that they shouldn't have and that they've done improper things, and then they give donations, vesa pesach, and they bring things that are limping, vesa chol and sikin, vesa mesa mincha, and that's what you give to God. Hayito, you think God wants this? 14. Or nucha hayesh be'edr zachov and no der v'zevach amishah. So these people that give donations that aren't really giving, it's not a good thing. It's really you don't do God. Sometimes people think it's like they buy God off. They give him a bribe. You know, like I'll do what I want to do as long as I, you know, I'll send a donation over there every now and then. And this way, whatever I do is not so bad. You know, I'll kind of buy my way around. Hashem, you're not fooling anybody. Ki melech gadol ani. Hashem, I'm a big king. I'm Hashem. Ushmi Nora. My name is feared all around. Okay. First Aleph begins and ends. Ba'ata. Sometimes you get frustrated that they divided these into chapters because you see it's like right in the middle. It's right in the middle of the discussion. It shouldn't have been divided. But they did it to make it even or to make it... So what do you do now? Again, this is also part of Haftorah. It's never... Even if the words are harsh, there's always a message that it can be fixed, that there's something to be done. V'ata, and now, aleichem ha-mitzvah, that you kohanim, you have the opportunity now. You can fix this. Verse 13, Im lo tishmu, if you don't listen, v'im lo tesim alev, and you don't put this on your heart, Allah says, give honor to my name, Hashem says. V'shalati b'chem es me'era, and if you don't, then you'll get the curse. V'arosia, and the blessing will go away, v'gam rosa, because you're not thinking about it, you're not putting your heart into your service. Verse 3, hine gor lechem. Now, this is kind of... I think some modern expressions come about. They talk about when the dung hits the fan, you know, so to speak, or the I don't know where that came from, or the. But that's it's kind of what.
This would be a good way to say it.
What is that?
This would be a much clearer.
That's right. But it's kind of what's described here in verse 3. Hashem says, you know, I'm going to reject you. You know, if you don't fix this, then. Everything's going to go wrong, and it's going to scatter. It's going to be on a person's face. It's going to, it's all going to come apart, is what Hashem is saying. And that's really what happened when the temple was destroyed. Is that the people depended on the service. They thought they could do whatever they want because they got a Beis HaMikdash, they got a temple, meaning that they didn't have to treat their workers right, they didn't have to treat their fellow Jews right, they didn't have to be honest. As long as we bring our offerings, as long as we make sure that every day the temple service is done. And again, a person could think like that. As long as I daven every day, whatever I do. It's rumored, like in New York, where you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of Jews, that there are people that go to synagogue every day but are not honest, are not, you know, that don't act right. How could it be? Like, you know, we're to us, it's like nobody forced it. We're not all, you know, we weren't all born in observant places. So we're, generally speaking, people that come to synagogue, it's because it's a privilege. No one forces them. They're not. But in places where there's, you know, people are born where, you know, in an Orthodox society, so they act observant, but they're not observant. They might wear the clothing of observant people.
So what happens when they read this Haftorah? Is there nothing?
They're talking in shul. You know, or they're just there because they need to. It's not hitting them. They don't realize that they don't put it. Einu samim alev. It doesn't enter their heart. They're not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. What God says, I don't need this. I don't. You know what? I don't. They had a few years ago. They had that guy that killed a little child. You remember that Levi, whatever those. The guy looked like he was observant, you know. But it was just a lifestyle. We know he was not observant. You know, he looked like he was observant, but that's just on the outside. We like to look at people on the outside. So we who try to be somewhat observant, we have to make sure that we're observant on the inside, that we put it on our hearts. But God says that if you don't, you know, if you don't put your heart into it, I'm going to rebuke the seed and the dung is going to fly all over you. The paras chagechem and your festivals and nasa eschem, it'll all come back to you. Verse 4. Biyadatem ki shalachti alechem. In other words, if a person just does like if his observance is an excuse to do the wrong things, that a person convinces themselves, well, I'm not a bad guy. Look what I do. I give my donation. I give my used clothes to the synagogue drive, and I give my old stuff. And I, you know, when I steal things and I take things illegally, I make sure to give my donation to the synagogue or whatever it is. So he uses that as an excuse not to be a better person. That's not what Hashem says. I don't need any excuses. I don't need that kind of. You don't use religion as an excuse. That you, because you're good, you do the right things in some areas, that you don't fix up the other areas. Mm-hmm. There's really a person needs to be a good person. There's no way around it. You know, you can't. Well, I'm praying three times a day. Well, it doesn't help to pray three times. I mean, the Muslims pray five times a day. It doesn't. You got to do the right things. You know, it doesn't. It's not enough to just do the external things. The service, if the service is an excuse not to improve in other areas of life, then God says, I don't need the service. The service is supposed to help you think about how to be a better person. Be'adatem. And God says, I give you this mitzvah, lios brisi, to have a covenant with me as a Levi, with the Levi, Omar Hashem Tzva, with the priest. In other words, Hashem gives us leaders to get close to him and to think about what the service should be. Verse 5, brisi haise ito, and my covenant is with you. This is the, there's a big men's group used to call B'nai B'rith. You don't hear about them too much anymore. I don't know what they're doing. They at one time they were like the big, but the word is the right word. We have like a special bris with Hashem. We usually think about it with a child, but that just represents our covenant with Hashem. My bris, brisi haise ito. My bris is with you. I have a deal with you, Hashem says, and it's a deal for life and peace. Ve'etnim li mora, and this you will have, and you will have a fear of me. You'll have an awe of me, v'yareiniv neishmi, and for my name. This comes. Verse 6. Torah's emes haisvef you. Now the Kohen or the Levi will have a law of truth, and it should be in his mouth. Ba'avla, and something crooked, lo nimsa besvaslov, should never be in his lips. He shouldn't even say, it shouldn't even cross his lips. Not only shouldn't he do something wrong, but it shouldn't cross his lips. B'sholom b'mishor holach, and a person like that will go in peace, and he'll take the straight route. I told you, you know, I always get that phone call, and I
almost made it.
Yeah, I was thinking, wow. Usually it's earlier that.
Oh, because you thought.
That's right. We get to the punchline over here. So you got to have truth. V'avlo l'nimsu esvasav, and. Something crooked will not be in his lips. B'shol misha holach, iti, and they'll go with me. V'rabim heishi me'avon, and you'll turn people back from doing sin. Like a person who can prevent people from you know, going away. Now, this pasuk is actually quoted like the... they were described like religious leaders that weren't so good, and now we're describing the religious leaders that are good. Because the lips of a Kohen, Yishmru Das, will guard the knowledge of Hashem. V'Torah Yevakshim Epiyu, when you find such a person who's the real thing, So you should seek out Torah from him. You should ask him to teach you. You should try to learn from him. Ki malach Hashem svar, because he's an angel. So they translate as an angel. Now, actually, the Art Scroll did this right. He doesn't call him an angel. He says he's an agent of Hashem. Because what is an angel?
It's an agent.
It's an agent, right. We think of an angel as, you know, like with a halo and the flying and the... an angel just means that you're on consignment. You're working for the boss. We're all angels. And so the Kohen, he's a messenger of Hashem. That's what the word Malach means. He's a messenger of God. And we see ourselves as messengers of Hashem to fix the world. And again, we fix the world by being good people, by doing mitzvahs with a love and a joy and doing them right and doing them all the way. And there's just so many... so many different ways that we get to do it, but and sometimes we do it even though we don't feel like doing it, but it shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be an excuse not to do the right things. That's kind of the message here.